Thank you, Simon, and welcome back, everyone. We're now going to start our report back session. And to mix things up a little bit, we will start with Tom and Group 3. So, Tom, over to you. Thank you.
Okay. Whoops. Yes, so I am live. Okay. Thanks very much, Nick. We had a good discussion, as always, thanks to my group members. I think the overriding thing, and I think people were supportive of the project in that it is critical that a management commentary provide a basis to write an informative narrative that the entity can construct to capture its specific circumstances. And I think there was general support for what we were doing with respect to this. This is subject to several things. But it is really important that entities are free to protect commercial sensitivities. And I think the users respected that, and there was a sense that it was possible to be informative to users while still protecting commercial sensitivities, and that the document needs to sort of be clear in this. The next one was, I think, preparers are, with respect to this narrative, frustrated by regulations that require a very specific set of disclosures or set of minimum line items or something of that nature. And to the degree that the proposals create the latitude for preparers to construct informative narrative, then this is a really good thing. And it would also allow preparers to pull things from many places and hopefully produce it into a concise document. And again, they were encouraged that the proposal may help them do this. Some of the users thought more prominence should have been given to sustainable competitive advantage, and that this could be clearer because in some sense, this is one of the things you're hoping to. If you're a long-term investor, you want something that's going to have a sustainable competitive advantage and produce competitive returns. It was also thought really important of using and describing clearly the metrics or KPI the entity uses, and it's an important facet of the proposal. There was also a general concern, it's not something that we control directly at the IASB, but the level of assurance and how it is applied will be important to the success of the project. If it's too strong or unclear, then preparers will tend to be conservative and the project won't succeed to the same degree. And a smaller item right at the end, a little bit of confusion over the Venn diagram at the beginning, and that we need to be clear that the management commentary does bring in information from other sources, especially relating to how it explains long-term prospects. And if my colleagues in my group have anything to add, I would be pleased to welcome them now.
Any other further comments from those who were with Tom? That doesn't seem to be the case. So thank you, Tom. Francoise, could we hear from you next?
Thank you, Nick, and thank you to all participants in Breakout for our discussion. I think we heard, in fact, a very positive welcome by users of our proposals, and I think we should be grateful to all the advice that we've received, notably from the Management Commentary Advisory Group in leading us towards this path. So basically, what we heard from users was that these proposals were providing an excellent structure for the management commentary that covered all areas that users were interested in. That provided, in fact, a very important focus on value creation, and that this was the right anchor for providing useful information in the document. And very importantly, that the proposals would lead to having some form of dynamic reporting so that you're not only told what has been achieved, but also whether what has been achieved is sustainable, or how it has been done, or what plans, what goals the entity announces how this would be achieved, and the general need for balance. Interestingly enough, we have had a question on whether competitive advantages would be, where they would sit in that structure. I heard from Tom that this was a concern by some participants in this group. So basically, we indicated, we responded to that, but good to see that this is a common concern across the two groups. From preparers, we heard that it was still very early in our consultation process for them to have assessed the extent of the guidance that is provided. What we heard is an interesting parallel drawn between our pilot approach in the disclosure initiative and this approach to the management commentary with the design of specific disclosure objectives. And as a first reaction, but again, it was an early start, the comparison between what has been done in one and the other project, highlighting the fact that more explanations are given as to how the information will be used in our disclosure initiative compared to what is provided here. And this positive comment about this new approach on disclosures being tempered by the fact that if it is seems to be heading into the right direction, still a lot needs to be done to make it work. So basically, we don't have yet an assessment of whether preparers would be able to fulfill what would bring the satisfaction to users. So we need to listen to more in this consultation process, but we had for a good start because basically we have well analyzed users' needs and provided the guidance is robust enough to making preparers provide the appropriate content in response to what we have described, that would be a success. Now, we also had two references common to Tom's group, the one being made to confidentiality. And whether this would, the level of disclosures that we were expecting would be opposite to, I mean, would lead an entity to bring confidential matters in the public arena and in a detrimental way to its interests. And so that's certainly we indicated in the discussion that if this was a concern, it should be really well documented in consultation, because so far there is no specific guidance on it. And also the same concern about the assurance that could be delivered. And we indicated that discussions are still taking place with the relevant stakeholders. Finally, we had very good questions about how governance and compliance were playing a role, if any. The same for social performance monitoring and how all this would be converging with integrated reporting. And that's where we affirmed, in fact, that the anchor in this document is really the value creation process. And that all these elements, as long as they have indeed a strong relationship to that value creation, they have their place. Otherwise, they belong to other part of the corporate report. That would be it, unless the group participants think that they've forgotten anything of substance. Thank you.
Thanks, Françoise. Are there any other views from that particular group? No, that isn't very comprehensive, Francois. That doesn't appear to be the case. Thank you. So let me report back from the group that I sat in on. First of all, we had a very open and candid discussion. So thank you to all the participants in our group for that. I think our overall message was the disclosure approach versus specific requirements is the right approach to follow. That was generally welcomed through the group. As was the focus on value creation, although we may need to be a little bit more precise in our language in terms of what we mean by that. So something for us to reconsider. There's some common themes that came out around the importance of thinking about these content areas over a number of time horizons, the short, medium, and the long term, the importance of balance, of having a coherent set of disclosures that are connected to each other and also are connected to the financial statements, and then the overriding concept of materiality. And although those weren't specific areas that are set out in the disclosure objectives that we have presented, they clearly are, they run through other elements of the draft practice statement. But it was reassuring to understand that it was in the contents of those issues that the disclosures should be provided. And in a similar vein, the importance that key metrics were both those, the ones used by management, but also presented on a consistent basis over time. And if there couldn't be an explanation as to why the metric was changing and how that metric was changing. So those things were highlighted, I would say. We had some interesting discussions around perhaps areas that should have more emphasis in the disclosure objectives as they are currently set out. So progress and progress features in each area of content, but a sense that the delta was very important to markets and that progress generally was very important to the perspective of markets. And whether that's, the question is that in the right place in the hierarchy? Does it have enough prominence in terms of where it sits today? But to emphasize that progress is a focus for capital markets. Another area, and we've heard this from, I think, both the other two groups, was around competitive advantage and exactly where that should be reflected or where it should perhaps be drawn out more in terms of the objectives as we have them set out today. So wanting to see that. And in a similar vein, again, perhaps being more explicit in terms of how key relationships are managed to draw that out. There was a comment around milestones, and I think in under strategy we talk about disclosures against milestones. Just an observation that not all entities will operate with milestones. For many, strategy is a continuum, and just to be aware of that. We had a very interesting discussion around risk disclosures, which is clearly, I'd say, an area, or from what I heard in the group, an area of frustration, often, not always, but often for investors today, and that these can become very boilerplate and long lists, which are of limited use. And we had a very helpful perspective shared from one of our preparers. You know, that there are lots of behavioral factors behind this. It's natural to want to lay out all the possible risks and not leave yourself open for not having thought of something. And a good example was to expect the future pandemics now to become a regular feature on risk lists for corporates. But we started to think about how we could mitigate against that potential behavioral bias. And we talked about a couple of things. We talked about the TCFD framework, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with, which is more of a risk disclosure framework specifically. Not only talks about identifying the risk, but how the risk is being managed, what's the process around the risk, and perhaps for asking for a richer set of disclosures might encourage, I guess, a more focused disclosure around key risks. And the other very good point that was made was clearly, you know, with this content area and with all the other content areas, there's clearly a interconnectivity. And what you identify as key risks is going to influence your strategy as well. And to emphasize that, you know, where these things really are key, they will knock on into those other areas of content. And I think that that was a nice segue into an overall comment that what we've set out here in the practice statement is an organizational construct to help put management commentary together. But in some respects, it's artificial also, and that there is this connectivity and connections and overlaps between all of these areas. And just to remind us about that also. I apologize. I'm sure I have missed out some very useful points that were made in our group, but we would have captured those during the group session. But if any other of the participants in our group would like to chip in now, if I have missed out a key point, please do so. I seem to have got away with it then somehow. So thank you again, everyone. And let me now pass over to Zach to report back on the group he was with. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks. So I'll be a little bit briefer. I think we had a great discussion in the group. A lot of the points have already been covered, which is why I'll be a little bit briefer. But I think the first place to start is where actually the group discussion started, which is this discussion of that Venn diagram and where exactly the management commentary fits in, what it's meant to include, what it's meant not to include, and just a long discussion of where that role sits, where you could include information that was provided in greater detail elsewhere. And once we got through that, I think the general sense, particularly from the investors, was that the framework was a good one. I'm going to paraphrase here, just the type of information that they already collect from a number of sources today, but that it's appropriate to bring it all into one place and make sure it's accessible by all of the users of that information. I think another theme that came through in the discussion was a lot of discussion on balance versus optimism. Traditionally, I think management commentary has been seen as where management gets to tell its story. And there was discussion of who exactly puts together management commentary versus who puts together the financial statements and how those groups differ, and why we chose balance versus neutrality. Because that issue of balance is in contrast with the optimism that's generally seen in management commentary today. And if you're telling your story, you're going to tell an optimistic story. And so a lot of great thoughts on how we balance those or how we try and achieve balance while still allowing for that narrative storytelling. Another big theme and where we had a lot of discussions was on this issue of materiality and finding the right balance along a continuum of high-level information, which might be less useful to investors, versus more granular information that would be more useful to investors who are reading the report, acknowledging that as you move down at that continuum towards more granular information, more granular metrics and goals, you're going to get more commercial sensitivity and need to balance that in some way. And so that's where we turned to a discussion of the specific disclosure objectives and whether they provide enough guidance. I don't think we came to a great conclusion on whether they do and whether they strike a balance, but I think a lot of people in the group thought that we would have to see what these disclosures actually look like in practice and then do a continuous process of improvement to get to where we're getting that balance correct. In terms of sort of concerns that came from the two groups, I would say for investors, enforceability came through. You know, where we are in the continuum, are we getting the balance we're looking for? Are we getting the granularity of information? And then on the preparer side, I think the biggest one was sort of that commercial sensitivity, and in particular, where they are asked to provide conclusions on future events, metrics for where they think they're going to be in targets, how that's going to be balanced. And in particular, we had that same discussion of North American markets where you are opening yourself up a little bit more the more you talk about the future and what you hope to achieve versus concrete facts where you can point to what's actually happened in the past. With that, I'll wrap up and just ask if the group had anything else they wanted to add.
Thanks, Zach. Any other? Yeah, Sharif, go ahead.
One item which we could not discuss is about risk management disclosure. I believe one of the gaps you are trying to address is the fragmentation of information in the annual. Currently, we are already disclosing financial risk management in the financials. However, when you put overall risk management in management, and if it is not going to be mandatory to be audited, then there will be some administrative difficulty for auditors to sign off when some of the information would be recorded in another place in the annual report.
Thanks. And I think in the practice statement, it does talk about the allowing cross-referencing, which may allow you to overcome that issue and satisfy your auditors as well, I hope. So that may be one solution, possibly. Thanks, Sheriff. Zach, you wanted to come back on one other issue.
I think on the disclosure objectives and some of the examples we cited in terms of the relationships, and this came up most in strategy and resources and relationships, one theme that really did come out that I neglected to mention that I should have was that the disclosure objectives and some of the examples we provided really seemed to be based around more bricks and mortar companies. And that we should really make an effort to work on the wording there to make sure that we are very inclusive of the sort of new technology companies where it's less about the factory that you have and the resource there and more about that customer relationship or your technological advantage and how it helps you create value for the firm. So I think it was an important point about being as inclusive as possible, particularly given that we've talked about things like intangibles and how this could be a place where we build the blocks for reporting on those sorts of things.
Thanks, Zach. That's a very good takeaway for us to capture also. So before we wrap up this session, can I just ask the staff whether Helena or Joan have any concluding comments that you would like to make?
Nothing from me, thank you. Joe.
Matt, did you want to come in?
Yes, I will if I may. So I think that's been a really helpful discussion for us. It's clear that a number of themes keep coming up around the application of the disclosure objectives. So I think it's sounding like we're on the right track with the disclosure objectives, but what's really important is how the proposals communicate the application of materiality, balance, time horizons, and being absolutely clear about the distinction between asking for information on a matter and asking for management to make predictions about the matter, which certainly the proposals aren't trying to do, but just making sure that's clear. So I think some really helpful feedback there.
Great, Matt. Sorry for not inviting you to speak. My apologies, but thank you. And thanks to everyone. It sounds like we had some very lively and constructive discussions across all of our groups. So that brings us to our end of our session on management commentary. We are slightly ahead of schedule, so let's see if we can capture a little bit of that advantage. So can I suggest that we come back at 5 minutes past 1, 13:05 British Summer Time, just to see if we can keep ahead of the game. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, everyone. See you shortly.